This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary. Coming up, clever solutions to life's little problems. But first, 2 months after the brutal murder of a defrocked priest in a maximum security prison in Massachusetts, Governor Mitt Romney has ordered a top-to-bottom review of the state's Department of Corrections. 68-year-old John Gagan was serving time for molesting dozens of children when a fellow inmate strangled and beat him to death in his cell. Some say the Gagan murder could have been avoided, and it underscores a serious need for reform. NPR's Anthony Brooks reports.
John Gagan was serving a 9-to-10-year sentence for child abuse when he was murdered last August at a maximum security prison in Shirley, Massachusetts. As a highly publicized and convicted pedophile, he was a marked man, which is why he was in protective custody. But that didn't protect him, and some people aren't surprised.
John Gagan's murder was predictable.
Leslie Walker heads Massachusetts Correctional Legal Services, which advocates for inmates, including Gagan, before his murder. Sharing Gagan's protective custody unit was 37-year-old Joseph Druce, a self-described neo-Nazi serving a life sentence for murdering a gay man. Druce allegedly got into Gagan's cell, bound him, beat him, and strangled him to death. Walker says the central question is why Gagan ended up in the same unit with a convicted gay-bashing murderer.
In John Gagan's unit, people ranged from John Gagan and three other guys who he played cards with, who were older, passive prisoners, to a large group of mentally ill prisoners, and a few violent folks like Joseph Druce and one or two other people. It's a nightmare.
Walker says part of the nightmare in Massachusetts is a shortage of protective custody cells. Also, a flawed inmate classification system that transferred an elderly, frail inmate who posed no risk to fellow prisoners to the super maximum security prison where he met his killer. A three-member law enforcement panel is investigating that, as well as allegations that a small number of guards at a medium security prison where Gagan was housed abused him and pushed to have him transferred to the Supermax facility. Again, Leslie Walker.
John Gagan was body slammed in front of his sister in the visitor's room. He was made to stand naked for 45 minutes. There was feces and urine in his cell. His food was tampered with. Torture is a word that's been thrown around, and I would have to say it's an accurate term.
At statehouse hearings this past week in Boston, Corrections Commissioner Michael Maloney wouldn't comment on those allegations, pending the outcome of an investigation, but he did defend his officers.
These people have the most difficult job in government, in any organization, there's people that cross the line. But the overwhelming majority of the staff that work in the Department of Correction are hardworking, dedicated professionals, and they deserve the respect that comes with that.
But the Gagan murder has prompted state officials to re-examine principles that have guided corrections policies across the country for the last two decades. Ed Flynn, the state secretary of public safety, points out that the high crime rates of the 1980s led to big investments in maximum security prisons and mandatory minimum sentences. The result, he says, low-risk inmates like Gagan get pushed into high-risk units.
All across the country, minimum security prisons have been closed in favor of very expensive maximum security prisons that have been built and have excess capacity. And so consequently, empty beds are sometimes going to get filled with people that perhaps do not require that level of supervision.
Flynn says it might be time to reevaluate the lock-em-up policies of the 1980s. Republican Governor Mitt Romney has appointed Scott Harshbarger to lead a top-to-bottom review of the correction system. Harshbarger is a Democrat and former state attorney general who says over the past 20 years, the state paid less attention to corrections policies, even as it worked effectively to reduce crime.
Part of that was putting a lot of bad people in prison for as long as you could keep them away because they were destroying the communities. But the area we did not really focus on was corrections. It's been the area that's been neglected.
It's also expensive. In Massachusetts, most prisoners are now housed in maximum security facilities, which explains in part why the per-inmate cost has gone up 75% in the last 10 years. Mark Maurer, assistant director of the Sentencing Project in Washington, D.C., says policies are beginning to shift in several states. For example, some states are releasing low-level drug offenders from jail. Others are investing in relatively low-cost treatment programs.
Part of this has been brought on by the fiscal crisis that states are facing, and so states that are coping to fund education and other services are now recognizing that a bloated prison system is really draining their resources in that direction.
Scott Harshbarger says his commission will evaluate not only cost and issues of prison culture and inmate classification that might have sent John Gagin to his death, but also whether it's time for the tough-on-crime pendulum to swing back and respond to the many drug offenders and other nonviolent inmates who now crowd the state's prisons.
Are we creating a system here where we're, in fact, simply holding people in bricks and mortar? You've got to have punishment. But in most cases, these people are coming back into the community unequipped to function in our society, and that's a danger.
Massachusetts is one of many states realizing that the get tough on crime policies of the 80s came with a big price tag, and now the bill is coming due. Anthony Brooks, NPR News, Boston.